Great kid spot. Leads me on perfectly to my talk this morning, which is continuing our growth series. And we've been looking at different ways that we can grow as individuals in our relationship with God and the different things that God uses to grow us and develop us as human beings and individuals. And today we're looking at perseverance. Now, perseverance is a good quote here. Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did. And that's what it's like, isn't it? Now, I learned something about myself since beginning to go down the gym. This is what I've learned about myself. I really don't like discomfort. Some people enjoy the gym. I don't. I don't want to go. I put it off as long as I can. And I'm always pleased when I leave. I do it because I have to, not because I want to. I don't like discomfort. I endure it. I can't wait till it's over. Really, I have to persevere. But there is an annoying, when you're pushing these weights, you can look at it and feel annoyed. There's a little slogan on our gym, and it says this: if it doesn't challenge you, it won't grow you. And that is true. If it doesn't challenge you, it won't grow you. But let's look at what Paul says. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not disappoint us. So Paul is basically saying the same thing, is that when you go through a difficult time, when you're in a trial, when it's tough, when it's challenging you, it is actually an opportunity for it to grow you. That's what he's saying. And it grows our character. In other words, it's growing us internally as human beings, our attitude, our mindset, our disposition. And character, you see, character is the pathway to success. We actually sometimes can feel that talent is the pathway to success. It's not. Character will determine the quality of life that you live, the richness of life that you have. And I'm not talking about pounds, shillings, and pence. It will determine the well-being that you have in life. There's a little saying, and I love it, and it's true. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Your destiny, your future, the quality of your life is determined from who you are and becoming. This is why Jesus says, know somebody by their fruit. It's what they're producing, and it is the character that produces fruit. Character is like the roots and the tree. The fruit is what we do, but if you don't have great roots and great character, you don't produce good fruit in your life. Character will determine your future more than your talents. Character will determine your future more than your breaks, circumstances, and opportunities. Character, says the scripture, is shaped by perseverance. Now, there are some trials that I have had to endure and discomfort that I really haven't enjoyed at all, but have shaped the person of who Sarah and I am. I remember going to Bible college. I couldn't wait to leave school. And I didn't want to go to Bible college. I didn't want to go and study theology. But God, it's one of those occasions when God clearly instructed me to go. I had to go. I didn't want to. And there's a part of me that hated every minute of it. I really didn't want to go to this place that was like a monastery and cut off from everywhere. That wasn't who I was. And in many respects, it was what you would call a wilderness experience. And also, there's something that God did or allowed to happen during my Bible college years when I was studying for the ministry, is that he withdrew the awareness of his wonderful presence during those 2 years. Now, you think that's strange. You think, oh, I'd be in Bible college. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Now, he withdrew the awareness, or he allowed it to be lifted for 2 years, because the presence of God was the thing that surprised me most about Jesus when I became a Christian. His wonderful, beautiful, delightful, brilliant, joyful, amazing, exhilarating presence. It would bring me to tears of joy. I couldn't wait to pray, to be in his presence. I didn't want to leave. Oh my goodness, the presence of God. We've been singing about it. One thing I desire, O Lord, says the psalmist, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your presence every day and behold your beauty. Oh my goodness, the beauty, the presence of God. It took me by surprise, and it's what fueled me and kept me going. But he allowed it to be lifted. There's a saying that some people have written in their journey with Jesus. It's called the dark night of the soul, when the presence of God is lifted and you learn something. You learn to trust God, live for God, obey God, seek God, not because you feel it, not because you're rewarded by the presence, but because of who he is. And you're relying on who he is and what he says about himself. And you learn to rely on his word, not feelings. That is so important. You rely on his word, not feelings. So when feelings fail, his word never does. And I went through a two-year desert experience. I mean, Jesus went through this experience after him experiencing the exhilarating presence of the Spirit of God coming upon him and going into the wilderness. It says he went into the wilderness for 40 days. That's what it is. Jesus did 40 days. I did 2 years. Because 2 years. It was bleak. But I learned to rely on the word of God, the written word of God, that he was with me, he was for me, he would help me. His wisdom is true. I learned to obey him and pray and worship even when I felt something. How many of you felt the wonderful presence of God as we were worshiping? There will be some of you who didn't feel anything, and you are having the opportunity to learn how to worship without feeling. There's times when we pray and it's wonderful. It's like hitting the ceiling. So I learned to pray and trust his word. And I learned to hear his voice when it didn't feel so good. And it develops character and you grow. I remember going through a time after I went and I was working for a church and I was working for a leadership, and there were some decisions that I didn't agree with. Hey, who goes through life and has ever had a boss and ever had a working environment where some decisions and you just don't agree with it? That's just life, isn't it? And I had to learn to submit and comply and cooperate and be loyal and put my heart and soul in the situation, even though I didn't agree with everything that was happening or the way it was doing. That's a challenge. That's maturity. That will grow you. Because if we only ever collaborate and hang tight and stay in unity and work hard and are loyal when we get our own way, that's not maturity. That's just, it's all got to be on my terms. That was hard. I'm glad I learned it. Poverty. I remember when we started the church, as many of you know the story, with, you know, just a handful of people and £35, and we went through years of poverty where we couldn't eat and we never went into debt. That's why it was tough, because we didn't overspend, and it was really hard. And we went into poverty. I remember we only had one jacket. And when I had a new jacket, I went and got 20p from the market, put it in the bath, a dye thing, and it turned out brown jacket, blue jacket. Same jacket, same pair of shoes, literally. Remember, we didn't have a car. Couldn't afford the insurance. Just couldn't afford it. Poverty. What does that do? Takes away the fear of not having anything. Been there. It's all right. It's not as bad as you think. Been there. And it builds faith, because you have to trust God to provide for the next bill. And it builds your faith that he is faithful, and you actually make it in its own, and you come through it a different person. When our house, and we started the church, as many of you know, we were burgled so many times. About 16 times. Burgled. And our car, when we did get a car, was stolen 3 or 4 times. And people would come and visit us, and their car was stolen because of the place where we were living. What does that teach you? It teaches you to forgive the people who are invading and taking your stuff and intruding on your space psychologically and emotionally. It teaches you to forgive the people that you've never met and you'll never get an apology from. Teaches you to forgive. It grows you to be a bigger person. And the other thing it teaches you is this. Teaches you to pray and find your security in God, because we prayed a lot through that season. Get your security in God. I remember when the church, and those of you who have journeyed with the beginning, the growth was slow, wasn't it? And it was hard. And it took a long time to get some traction. And we're enjoying a distant season in our church life. But when the church was slow and it was hard, and do you know what that teaches you? And you just choices to make? Don't get your significance out of your achievements. Don't get your significance out of your success. Don't get your significance out of what you do. Get your significance that you are loved by God, you are called by God, he thinks you're brilliant in your relationship with him. I am Julian, I am a child of God. I am Julian, I am a husband to my wife. I am Julian, I am a father. I am Julian, I am me. It's not your achievements. It's who you are. Because you can, because if you put your significance on your achievements, what if you don't make it? What if it's all ripped away? What does that say about you and the quality of life? And these are challenges. And do you know, I would never have gone on a journey of learning these things and being transformed by them. And still on the journey, by the way, never ends. Not made it, big L plates on the journey, but never had the opportunity to get on this development road without the trials and the trials and persevering through life. How so? So James puts it this way. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that it is the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish his work so that you may be mature, that you may grow up, grow, be complete, not lacking anything. And we see from these two scriptures that we've looked at, Paul and James, just like Rachel was teaching us this morning in the children's spot, it is the attitude choice that we have in these moments that are key. And you see, trials and difficulties don't necessarily grow you just because you're going through them. They can wound you. They can crush you. They can destroy you. They can deplete you. But if we have an attitude shift, transforming suffering, it can transform suffering into a positive force for growth and development rather than it crushing and damaging us. It's all in our attitude shift in the moment of our trial. That's what it all boils down to. Viktor E. Frankl, an Austrian psychiatrist who was in the Holocaust, and he wrote this as a result of his studies and his observations around the Holocaust experience. By giving their experience purpose, people were much more likely to survive emotionally as well as physically. Others unable to transform the experience under some kind of purpose succumb mentally and emotionally as well as physically. Here's the thing. We will grow in our most challenging situations if we assign a purpose to our challenge. If we assign a purpose to our challenge. If we choose joy because of a growth opportunity. Listen to what Paul says. Rejoice in your trials because we know that it produces character. And when character is finished its work, hope doesn't disappoint it. What we're longing for, it doesn't disappoint. What does James say? Consider it, attitude shift, adopt an attitude, consider it joy. It's a choice. Consider it joy when you go through trials. Why? Because it's maturing your faith. It's maturing you. It's developing you. It's growing you that you may be complete and that you may be able to possess all that God has for you through your character that has come through your development, that's come through your choice in a trial. Here's a very interesting quote that this man says in his book. Between stimuli and response, there is a space. In other words, between stimuli is the stuff that gets thrown at you and your response. He says, between stimuli and response, there is a space, this moment in time. And in that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. This is really important. Stuff comes to you. You have a space. Sometimes it might feel like a split second, but it's a space. And in that moment, you have power. The power is not taken from you by the experience. The power, the thing that's thrown at you will not determine who you come yet. You do. And what determines it is your response. And James and Paul encourage us to take on this response of consider it joy because there's a growth opportunity. Perseverance will grow us if we have the right attitude shift. Perseverance will grow us, and this is a very important point, if we seek God's rest and healing in the trial. Now, in the New York Times, the science section, in January the 5th, 2011, they did an article on a book that was basically called A Roadmap to Recovery from Past Adversity. Basically, it means that when people have gone through trauma and trauma and trauma and trial and trial and trial and it begins to crush them, he says, well, how do they recover? There's a quote. It says, mental toughness is something like physical strength. It cannot develop without exercise, and it breaks down when overworked. So for those of you who do any exercise, you know this. You just can't endure, say, resistance training, and that's what a trial is, like, it's tough. You can't do it every day because you have to give your body time to rest, to recover, that you can push more. And then if you give time to rest and then you push more, you grow, even if you fail. Now, this is the thing about failure. Okay, let me just give you, I've learned something. If I go down the gym, forgive me these gym stories, but they do help. If I go down the gym, right, and my goal is to, say, lift 30 kilograms, and that's my goal. If I go to the gym and I try and lift 30 kilograms, and I can't lift it, I will go out the gym feeling discouraged. I failed. Because my goal is to lift 30 kilograms. But if my goal is to grow, failure is my friend. Because in all, what it is, if you want to grow and be strong, if you want to gain strength, you have to lift to failure. If you lift to failure, rest, lift to failure again, rest, you will grow. So here's the thing. If in life, no, I'm saying that because if in life, your goal is to succeed, that is risky. Because if you don't succeed, you'll feel everything has been robbed from you and I only get one life and I failed at it. You will be miserable. If your goal in life is not to succeed, but to grow, even failure, you are on the pathway to success. Yes. Change your mindset. Thank you, Cheeto. Change your mindset. Change your mindset. Don't live life to just succeed. Live life to grow yourself, to be more Christ-like, to be a greater person, to be the person that what God wants you to do. And then out of that, your fruit will come and you will have the quality of life, regardless of how much worldly wise you succeed. It's in personhood. But in the trial, if we want to grow, we have to be able to have times of rest. So we have to learn how to draw on the rest of God and the healing that God provides in the trials. Otherwise, they can crush us. Mind shift and drawing on God. Look at what the psalmist says. Famous psalm. We often read this psalm when it's too late at funerals. The Lord is my shepherd. This is not a psalm for the dying. This is a psalm for the living. Why do we assign it to funerals? I never know. It says, I won't read it all, but I'll paraphrase it. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me by still waters. Green pastures and still waters. That's speaking of rest. He's leading me to a place of rest, still waters. And there, he says, he restores my soul. And then it goes on to say this, in the presence of my enemies, my difficulties, my trials, the things that are thrown at me, the things that are threatening me, in the presence of my enemies, he lays before me a banquet that strengthens me. That's food to strengthen me, food to keep me going, food to give me joy in the presence of the things that threaten me. So when we're in trial, there's two key things that we must appropriate into our lives if we want to grow. One, we must have a mindset, an attitude shift that says, do you know what? I'm assigning a purpose to this. This is going to grow me, and I'm going to be joyful, not because of it, but in it, because I know this is growing me, and my future depends upon my personal growth. And secondly, in the difficulty, I have got a shepherd. And I come to him through prayer and worship. I come to his word, and he gives rest to my soul. He reassures my soul. He gives me peace. He speaks comfort and tenderness to me. I'm with you. It's going to be all right. You're not on your own. I know what I'm doing is your life. You can trust me. You don't have to be anxious and fretful. This isn't going to destroy you. It's going to grow you. He puts rest in your soul, and he strengthens you. And he heals you because of the wounds that sometimes trials bring. He restores my soul. That hurt. That's difficult. I feel wounded. But God heals our wounds as we keep drawing on him. Paul says this in the most adverse trials. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. We were under such great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt as if we'd received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will, and know that he'll continue to deliver us, helped by your prayers. I paraphrase that a little bit for you, but I read the long version. That's what he did. He was coming to receive comfort and stillness and rest in the presence of God and healing through the trials. So we attitude shift, mindset shift. So in conclusion, perseverance produces growth in us when we, one, rely on God to help and comfort us. Do that. Always go back to him in the most challenging situation. Two, when we draw on the God of comfort through others. Do you notice as we comfort others with the comfort? We are not designed by God to do it solo. We're given community, first thing that God says when they gave their lives to Christ, that day they were added to the church. It's the community of God's people. We're not designed to do it solo. We're designed to do it together. And God speaks to you through others. He comforts you through others. That's why he's given us gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are God's graces from him. It's they're manifestations of himself to encourage us and help us and heal us. The gift of encouragement, when you exercise it, is Christ's encouragement through you to another. It's not your encouragement. It's Christ's encouragement. They're gifts of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You think, oh, I'm exercising your gift. No, you're not. You're exercising Jesus' encouragement through you. And it's transformation. When we rely on God's comfort, when we draw on comfort through others, three, when we know that God will not allow us to cope with more than we can bear. It says this, no temptation is not common to man. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way of escape for you that you can stand up under it. He'll either give you the strength in it or he'll give you a get out, one or the other. Four, when we assign purpose to our trouble, when we realize that actually God can use this for good in my life. And fifthly, when we shift our mindset to joy because of the growth opportunity. If the most important thing in your life is succeeding, because you want to have a great life, when you have a momentary success, it'll give you joy. But I tell you what, it's a roulette wheel out there. Yeah? About success. Very few make it to the top. It's a very, very small pool at the high level. But if your goal to enjoy and know quality life and the richness of life and God's blessing is through growth, every opportunity, every trial is a win, even failure. Isn't that wonderful? I've learned more and grown more from my failures than I have my successes. I really have. And when we live like this, these are the things we will possess. Faith that is pure and strong. Maturity that is complete in character so we can cope and handle all things even more. And I'm not necessarily talking about more trials, but we can cope with greater things. You will not lack anything. You'll be able to handle blessing, steward blessing. You need character to handle blessing. Let me give you an example, very quickly. When I was a young man, I didn't own a car. I had to borrow my mum's. Great. You think, oh, that's cool. But I wanted my own car. And then I got my own car, and I realized, oh, hang on a minute. This takes some maturity to handle this. I've now got to put my own fuel in. I've got to tax it. I've got to service it. I've got to insure it. There's a whole stuff of work and clean it. There's a whole stuff of work that I realize now that I've got to do because I've got my own car. It takes character to maintain the blessing. And the Lord wants to bless you. And to bless you, he must grow you. And to grow you, he must test you. Tests from God are not like pass and failure, but they are tests or trials that bring out what's in us, that it may be skimmed off, that what is left is pure gold. Pure gold. Christ-like character that will produce fruit in your life even till old age. Let me encourage you, young people. There's a phrase, and it came from Napoleon. Start with the end in mind. Don't live for now, live for when you're old. What type of person do you want to be when you're 70, 80, 90? Let me encourage us mature ones. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted in a wilderness that will bear green leaf in his old age. Even everything else is a wilderness around you, but you're flourishing. That's what character does. Blessed is the righteous who trusts in the Lord. In his own age, he shall flourish. Everything else, Brexit may fail. The economy may plunge. It may all go pear-shaped. It is. But you will flourish. It may be a desert and you're planted in a desert, but you've got a secret underground stream source that you're drawing on and you are fruitful in your old age. Start with the end in mind and be confident about your future because of the goodness of God and what he has developed in you through attitude shift, assigning purpose, drawing on the comfort and the healing of God through God and one another, and perseverance. So when it's hard and the hard work is done, you just get started. Let's stand, and if the band could come up, we're going to sing a final song together as I pray. And I'm just going to pray for you that the Spirit of God that caused Jesus to endure will fill every one of our hearts today, because we can't do life. Life is always uphill. It just depends how steep at any given moment in time. Open your hearts to the Lord before we sing this song together. Holy Spirit, come now. And you never give up. You never fail. You persevere with us. You endured the cross for the joy that was set before you. That's us. You went through all of the sufferings for us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you will now fill our hearts and our minds with an overcoming endurance, that all the good things that you have purposed for us will come to us, through us, and in us, through character formation. And thank you for the trials and opportunities. And thank you for the seasons that you bring us when it's a little easier as well. We rejoice in them all. Amen.